Talk on this Monday afternoon with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. It's game week for the University of Tennessee, but then again, we said that last Monday, only to find out completely different. But Tennessee is supposed to play host to Florida with a 3:30 kickoff for the Big Orange against the Gators Saturday at Neyland Stadium. So hopefully everything stays on track. Tennessee will be ready for what could be a very interesting afternoon, for the fact that Florida, Jimmy, is almost, well, they're an 18-point favorite opening line that I saw. What have you seen?
Yeah, I saw it go down to 17.5, so there.
Money's following the balls.
By the way, Tennessee playing Florida, was that a tease? Since we really don't know if it's going to happen.
Correct.
Hopefully it does. My goodness, we've seen so many games postponed, canceled, etc. It looks like Florida State season may be over. They don't have any more games scheduled, and they've canceled three in a row. So they may be done, and they may be glad that they're done. But we just continue to try to follow this and see what happens, and hopefully we'll get these games in. Hopefully Tennessee will play Florida at 3:30 on CBS, as you mentioned. And, again, the Gators, a huge favorite. Hard to blame the odds makers on that one. The way Florida's playing, and the last time we saw Tennessee was not a good performance against Auburn. So we'll see. We'll see what Tennessee is able to get done this weekend.
That we will, and we always look forward to our regular Monday guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, a little bit later this hour. We also have Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com to start hour number three. After the Sports Fix at 6, we'll be joined by SEC replay official Gerald Hodges. We'll have a Tennessee football practice report with Eric Kane. And, Jimmy, today we are very excited to be joined by former Belmont coach Rick Byrd.
Rick Byrd is going to join us, really excited about this. And what I like about it is that he's going into the College Basketball Hall of Fame. He was selected along with one other coach, Tom Penders, and it's a really star-studded class that is going to be going in. So I was really happy for Rick Byrd to be selected for the College Basketball Hall of Fame. And he's such a humble person. I'm sure he'll say it's not deserving, but my goodness, you look at that resume. Congratulations to Rick Byrd. And I've got to wonder this, John, how many people who are Knoxville natives are in the Basketball Hall of Fame, player or coach?
Good question.
I don't know if there are any others. Maybe there are, but it's quite an accomplishment for Rick Byrd. He's already in the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame. We inducted him a number of years ago, but he was gracious enough to join us at 4:35. We look forward to visiting with him.
We'll go ahead and get this out of the way. Congratulations. Your New Orleans Saints have won 8 straight. Yesterday, they dismantled the Broncos 31-3. I will say this, Denver scored points since they had no real quarterback. And I'll also say this, it is a weird amount of pride that I take that Denver played within 28 of New Orleans without a quarterback, and the Raiders had their quarterback and still lost by 37 in Atlanta. So there's that. But congratulations, 8 straight wins for New Orleans. I will say this. I think Taysom Hill needs to step up his performance if they're going to get a Bridgewater-like performance while Drew Brees is on the shelf.
One quick question. Who's the co-host of Sports 180?
Josh Ward.
What's his favorite team?
The Raiders.
Okay, let's move on. Look, Denver went to a gunfight with a pocket knife. That was a really interesting situation, and I heard you talking about this earlier. I wondered why the Ravens game could be postponed and the Broncos would be forced to play. And so I get the argument that with Denver, you weren't trying to curtail an outbreak. You just had 4 quarterbacks that weren't abiding by the rules. And so I know that there was a Denver player, Kareem Jackson, that wondered if they were, if the NFL was trying to make a statement to Denver. And we'll see. Right now, it looks like the Ravens could be without as many as 23 players. Mm. And then the NFL told the Ravens, you can't practice today. So it's just really wild out there. So we just continue to traverse this. I will still say this. I look back and I feel like at least we've had this many games played. There were some doubts we'd get this far. So I'm at least happy about that situation.
Yeah, I would agree. And I do believe that the Broncos created a lot of this for themselves. And I would imagine that there are going to be some new protocols and practices put in place by teams that may already be doing this. But, for instance, Denver has 4 quarterbacks, and it was one, Driscoll, that that tested positive, and it was because he had met with the other quarterbacks, the three that were deemed ineligible, and they met in the team facility. They did not social distance. They ate a meal together. They weren't wearing masks. I would think that, one, Monday and Tuesdays are now all virtual team activities around the league, but I would think that you're going to have, perhaps this week, it'll be, if it were the Broncos, Drew Locke, who shows up, and Brett Rippon shows up, and Blake Bortles joins virtually. I would think that teams are going to start keeping a quarterback out of a meeting room just so they don't have to face anything like Denver did. But it was poor performance and failure to meet protocols and practices by these Broncos as individuals that it's a teachable moment and a very hard lesson for Denver.
Well, it is, and hopefully, I remember there was one team, I forgot who it was, that said that they were going to keep a quarterback virtual the whole year. Mm-hmm. He would not come, be around anybody else. He would just stay away from everyone just in case they needed somebody to be ready. So
yeah, that was McCown, wasn't it?
It was McCown, and I don't remember the team. Was it Washington or somebody else? Maybe it was a Florida team?
Yeah, I'm not – I'll find that out. You can go ahead and dive into more news and notes.
All right, let's get to the news and notes brought to you by Image Matters Technology. You need people you can trust. Jeremy Pruitt met with the media today on his Zoom press conference. A number of things that he said. First off, two Tennessee players have tested positive since the Auburn game, and Pruitt said about 16 are in quarantine. He expects most to be available Saturday against Florida. The time frame is interesting because if they found out Sunday or Monday that they had to go into quarantine, that doesn't add up to 14 days, but he said that they're hopeful that he'll have most of them back. The other thing is one quarterback is impacted. Pruitt did not identify who that quarterback is. He said Tennessee had a walkthrough on Saturday, no practice on Sunday. He said the extra practice days have allowed the team to build more depth. He also is very impressed with Florida tight end Kyle Pitts. He said he's probably the best tight end in the country. Nobody's really been able to slow him down. In all the years I've been coaching, he's the most talented guy I've ever played against. How about that for a heck of a statement? Because he's played against some pretty darn good players. He was also, as Vince Ferrara said, well, how have you done against tight ends this year? And Pruitt basically said, well, that doesn't matter because none of them are like Kyle Pitts. So doesn't matter if you shut anybody else down. This guy's just different. Also, Pruitt praising Kyle Trask, a quarterback for the Gators, 32 touchdown passes in 8 games. And then he complimented Dan Mullen. Florida scored on their first possession, the first drive of each game, 6 touchdowns and a field goal on their first 8 opening drive possessions this year. Also, regarding Harrison Bailey, Pruitt said it's not a concern about Bailey learning the playbook. It's just about getting live opportunities. And he said that the snaps he got against Kentucky, Arkansas, and Auburn were really beneficial to him in terms of dealing with the speed of the game, which will prepare him for the future. All right, the Lady Vols get a win against Western Kentucky, 87-47. 5 players in double figures. 3 newcomers started, which kind of surprised me. Jordan Walker, Kian Green, and Marta Suarez. Suarez a freshman, the other 2 are grad transfers. Vanderbilt has fired Derek Mason. 0-8 this year, 7 years his record, 27-55. He did get Vanderbilt to 2 bowl games, but they had a losing record each of those years because they lost a bowl game. 10-46 in the SEC. Also at Vanderbilt, Sarah Fuller makes the debut for any female kicker in the Power 5. There have been kickers in the FBS. There have been kickers at lower levels. And then she kicked off to start the second half. So that was historic as far as the Power 5, but it's not historic as far as the FBS. There have been other female kickers. Also, Jordan Bowden has signed an exhibition 10 deal with the Nets. That means he is invited to their training camp. Georgia quarterback DeJuan Matthews has entered the transfer portal. He started the season opener for the Bulldogs. The Northwestern game at Minnesota, canceled. Michael Penix, quarterback at Indiana, torn ACL, out for the year. Also, some other cancellations out there. Duke and Florida State has been canceled. Duke is now going to play number 10 Miami on Saturday. Florida State has no more games scheduled this year, so they could end their season at 2-6. We don't know that for sure, but that's possible. Iowa State beating Texas. The neat thing about that is that's the first time the Cyclones have ever beat Texas and Oklahoma in the same year. and they could win their first conference title of any sort since 1912. How about that? Oregon State knocks off Oregon. That ruins any Pac-12 chances of getting into the college football playoff. Washington State and Southern Cal scheduled for Friday. They've moved that game to Sunday so that Southern Cal can get more players back out of isolation or quarantine. Interesting move there. As far as the SEC over the weekend, Florida over Kentucky, 34-10. Kentucky 38-10 was without Kentucky without 15 players, either virus-related or injury-related. And then Missouri 41-0 over Vanderbilt. As Larry Roundtree had 160 yards and three touchdowns. Elijah Young came in and had four carries for 52 yards and really looked good. I was impressed with him. Vanderbilt ended up with only 185 total yards in that game. Alabama cruises by Auburn 42-13. Mac Jones, five touchdown passes. This was a really odd stat that I hesitated to mention last week because I thought it couldn't be right. Entering that game, since 1980, when both Alabama and Auburn were ranked, Auburn had a 12-3 advantage. Well, now it's 12-4, but that was an easy win for Alabama. Ole Miss over Mississippi State, 31-24. Matt Corral, 384 yards, two touchdowns. And Will Rogers, the freshman at State, 440 passing yards and three touchdowns, really performed well. Arkansas beats LSU 20-7. Kellen Mond was awful. He was 11-34, couldn't hit the side of a barn. Really struggled in that game. Georgia easily over South Carolina, 45-16. Georgia had 332 rushing yards. They had four players that gained at least 75 yards. That's the third time an SEC team has done that in 20 years. So that is a very rare sight. And Syracuse are kind of kicking themselves. So Syracuse is rallying, trying to tie NC State or maybe even beat them to get it into overtime or win.
Oh, yeah.
36-29. So the quarterback scrambles, he gets sacked on third down, and then, as the announcers say, you got to throw it to the end zone, can't spike it, they spike it, and they lose. So spiking it on fourth down usually doesn't work, and in this case, it did not.
It has yet to.
It is. That's right.
A bold strategy. Maybe it will pay off in the long run, although I don't know a scenario in which it would.
And I'm saying there's not a chance.
Exactly.
Ohio State and Illinois, so that game has been canceled. Ohio State, it was canceled. They need to play Michigan or Michigan State or they don't qualify for the Big Ten title. If they don't qualify for the Big Ten title, then what happens? Don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out as to whether the college football playoff takes them. The college football playoff did not set a minimum number of games to be played, so it's possible at five games they could get in. We shall see. I don't know how they're going to work that out, but we'll see what happens with that. Just a couple of other quick notes here. San Francisco, which cannot play at home over the next 3 weeks because Santa Clara County has voided contact sports, they're going to play their next two home games in Arizona. Also, Vanderbilt in basketball, they have paused activity. They will not play in the Legends Classic this weekend due to the COVID. They did beat Vanderbilt 77, Valparaiso 77-71. Scottie Pippen Jr. had 25 points in that particular game. Then with the high school playoffs, we've got, John, I know you mentioned this earlier, but Oak Ridge is going to the state championship game for the first time since 05, trying to win their first title since 1991. And then Alcoa wins easily. They advance to the state title. They're trying to win another one for Gary Rankin. And then you got Elizabethton, which beat Lowlandsville. So Elizabethton takes an undefeated team to the high school playoffs. And then just a couple of quick notes as far as the AP poll. The top eight remain the same with Alabama 1, then Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, A&M, and Florida, the top six. Texas, Auburn, and North Carolina lost and dropped out. Alabama has been ranked for 209 weeks in a row. That matches the third longest streak that Steve Spurrier had when he was at Florida. Florida State was at 211 before it was snapped in 2001. Alabama is sure to pass that mark. And those are news and notes brought to you by Image Matters.
And we also congratulate Meigs County playing for a state title in 2A. We will get a break and be back with more. That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
We are 99.1, the sports animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
John, just a couple of other notes. We'll hit college basketball. Richmond upsets Kentucky 76-74. It's the first win for Richmond on the road against a top 10 team. First time they ever beat a top 10 team. They were 0-25. Kentucky had 21 turnovers, the second most they've had in a game in 10 years. B.J. Boston, 20 points, 10 rebounds. Oliver Saar, 17 points, 11 rebounds. And somebody told me last week that Kentucky is just not as good as usual because some of these freshmen aren't quite at the level that some previous freshmen have been. Also, with the NFL, it was Kansas City beating Tampa Bay 27-24, an incredible first quarter and first half by Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. And then Tampa Bay made a run, cut it to three, but then Kansas City was able to run the clock out. So they get the win there. Detroit firing Matt Patricia and their general manager. Patricia was 13-29-1, the worst in the NFL over that time frame. Cleveland, they're 8-3. This is their first non-losing record since 2007. They beat the Jags, and then the New York Giants, the mighty Giants, have taken over the lead in the NFC East. They beat Cincinnati. They at 4-7. They're not tied with Washington, but I guess they own the tiebreaker since they won that game. They've won three in a row, but then their quarterback, Daniel Jones, is hurt. Don't know how long he's going to be out. He could be the third quarterback in the East to be hurt and miss at least one game. Carson Wentz is the only quarterback, I guess, that hadn't been hurt. So, God, what a lousy division. And how about this for over the weekend, college basketball? So Baylor looks like they're not going to play anybody, because their head coach tested positive. And then on Saturday, I think it was Saturday, they flew up to Las Vegas, got a game with Louisiana Lafayette, won 112-82. Then they played Washington, won that game 86-52. They were 15 of 27 on threes in the first game, 13 of 39 on threes in the second game, 28 of 56 on threes in those two games. My goodness.
Yeah. they should schedule at the last minute all the time.
Yes, and play all their games in Las Vegas. Who needs a home court advantage? Goodness gracious. So pretty impressive right there what they were able to do. And then Luka Garza, who Jay Billis called the best player in college basketball, he had 41 points. Get this. Who does he think he is? Bill Walton? 14 of 15 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 18 consecutive games with at least 20 points. And in the AP poll, Gonzaga's number one, Baylor two, Iowa three, Wisconsin four, Illinois five. Duke comes in at number six. So that's a look at those numbers. And then there was another note I wanted to pass along. It was with the Saints and with the Broncos. John, do you know if the Broncos quarterbacks will be back for next week? How does that work when there's that contact tracing in the NFL? Do you know?
Yeah, they actually, if they had not tested positive, they would have been cleared today. If they had pushed the game back just one day, they would have been able to play today. No new positive test for the Broncos, so everybody is available with the exception of those that were placed on the COVID list last week.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, Dr. Jerry Punch joins us next as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is the home of accurate, factual sports information. Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hyams on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson, and we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as we welcome back to the show a regular Monday guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. His appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville, right there in the Suburban Shopping Center, just west of Westtown Mall. And, Doc, no doubt about it, since we are now smack dab in the middle of the buildup to the holidays, This is the perfect gift that you can give yourself as well as anyone else that you want to help take steps in the right direction to being the best they can be.
Absolutely, John. And if you've had quite a bit of turkey over the last few days and maybe ate more than you should, put those grab those New Balances and go out for a nice walk with a jacket on. The air is crisp and clear. Or maybe just give them to someone for the holidays. You want to walk over, go over to the mountains and look at the Christmas lights and be able to wear a comfortable shoe. They're comfortable, they're stable, and they will give you a perfect fit every time. So lots of varieties, whether you want a dress shoe, casual shoe, or something to work out with, or just maybe to walk or hike. So the folks at New Balance of Knoxville will take great care of you.
That they will, and as they have taken great care of each one of us, Doc, me, Jimmy, we sure do appreciate them as well as making it possible for you to join us each Monday, essentially, out of the calendar year. Why don't we just jump right to the phones where Jim joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
You know, before I get to my question for you, Dr. Punch, I was laughing when John and you, Jimmy, were talking about spiking the ball or throwing it out of bounds on fourth down usually doesn't work. The first guy I thought of was Kenny Stabler in 1965 yep. against the Vols. Mm-hmm. Although it might not kill you if you've got the officiating crew from Colorado, Missouri, who may yep. not know it's fourth down.
There you go.
You can always hope that's your blessing.
Doc, I wanted to ask you about this college basketball season. I'll tell you what a bad break Tennessee is getting, because this looks to be one of the most promising and exciting teams that we've had in terms of players coming back and newcomers. There have been suggestions made to delay the college basketball season. I think Rick Pitino has made that suggestion. When you first think about it, you know, maybe if on the surface it sounds, yeah, let's do that. We'll be on safer ground. But when I think about it, I just wonder if there's still unknowns out there 2 months later. There's no guarantee that we're going to be on solid ground even if we delay the season. What's your thought on delaying college basketball season and having something like May Madness?
Well, Jim, it's a great question. You know, when I first heard that Coach Pitino had suggested it, I thought it might be a good idea. But like you, the more I thought about it, and then I put it in the context of what's happened in college football, and I look at where the ACC and the SEC jumped through all kinds of hoops to start as close to on time as possible, and although they've had some gremlins to battle and some issues where games have had to be canceled, they are fighting through this and are able to get further along. And you look at the Big Ten, which may have backed themselves into a huge corner now with starting late and mandating you got to play six games. And then look what happened with the Pac-12. I mean, as late as they started, I think you end up, you don't know what's around the corner. None of us know what's going to happen in the spring. We're all optimistic. I'm very optimistic that the vaccines that are out there with Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca, all three of those are going to be 90 to 95% effective from everything we read and hear about. But still, that could be months away for it to be effective enough in terms of having enough people to have access to it. So, you know, I'm sort of against delaying it. I think we go ahead and play it. We fight through it like the ACC and SEC did in college football.
It's kind of like where I'm leaning. Guys, what's your thoughts?
I agree with Doc, and he enumerated some of the reasons. If you start later, there's no assurance that it's going to be any better in January or February or March. And so I'm in the camp that says get in as many games as you can, and if you have to adjust later, then adjust later. But don't back yourself into a corner or into a window which doesn't give you flexibility. So I'm in favor of trying to get it done now. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, wiggle room is a must. It's a necessity. You've got to allow yourself. I mean, and it's interesting to know that the NFL will not award a Super Bowl to a venue that does not have the last weekend in February open as well as the first weekend. I mean, this is something they built into their season for quite some time. And you always hope you don't have to use it. But even though there is so much uncertainty right now, as Doc highlighted, that's not going to change drastically over these next few months. So I would just simply agree with what Doc and Jimmy have said. Get in what you can, because you don't know what you'll be able to get in later.
Well, however we go, we can ill afford to have a second straight year with no tournament, because that is absolutely the scariest thought for so many of these smaller programs. Guys, good to talk to you. Have a good afternoon.
Sure do appreciate it, Jim. Thank you very much. We've got more with Doc Punch, and we will get a break and be back with a final segment of this first hour of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
This ain't your mama's radio station, unless you've got a really cool mama. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Segment to this first hour of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch. If you have a question or comment for Doc, 656-9900, 656-9900.
Doc, I know you had the game at Indiana, and certainly Steve Scott had a huge game with three touchdowns, but the bad news is Michael Penix, a torn ACL, he's out for the year. Certainly that is could derail what's been a really nice season for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, it really can, Jimmy. It's so sad because I was literally standing 5 feet from him when he ran out of bounds there about the 2-yard line. And he went, there's a transition from where the turf is to the track. And he got there and his foot like hit the turf and hit the track and then stuck. And he went down. Now, he'd had a previous ACL tear. I'm not sure which leg it was. But he went down, and as soon as he hit the ground, I wasn't in a position where I could catch him because they had a cameraman to my right. And I thought he was just going to dive to the ground and roll, but because the defender was coming full blast, he ran like two more steps out of bounds and didn't hit that track area and went down and immediately began writhing in pain. So, he'd had a previous ACL, as I said, when he was a freshman there, had it repaired and bounced back quickly. But yeah, so sad because he has been the unequivocal leader of that team and that program. And ironically, you know, it was the opening game of the year where he made a dive for the pylon in overtime to beat Penn State. That dive, it's called the Reach. They even have T-shirts up there they sell in the stadium called it with a picture of it called the Reach. And it was reviewed and determined that he had scored. People still disagree. It's 50-50, I think. But anyway, they got the touchdown, and that launched their incredible season. And then he brought them back against Ohio State 2 weeks ago when they were down 35-7 to bring it within 7 points, and he was driving on the field when the clock ran out. So, yeah, it's sad. The backup quarterback's a transfer there. It came in from the Pac-12, so – the hope is that he was 5 for 5 passing and let him down the score, that he will be able to step in and throw the ball. And the question is going to be now, Indiana's had no running game until this past week. And I think they ran well this past weekend because Maryland's defense against the rush is not that steamy. And Maryland was missing 5 defensive starters because of COVID. They had 23 players out, of which 5 on defense were starters and 4 on offense were starters. So Maryland was really shorthanded. And, you know, but Indiana, yeah, here's the thing. They still have a chance to win the Big Ten, depending upon what happens. There's a scenario there with what happens with Ohio State. So, but everyone today, and I talked to the doctors as soon as they examined him, they can't give any information out there. They're really tight-lipped, and I understand that. And both the orthopedic surgeon there, Pete Meyer, and Andy Hipskin, the team physician, are friends of mine, and we're talking afterwards. And I didn't ask them, and I knew they couldn't tell me. It's the news came out today that, and I could tell in the post game interview when I talked to Tom Allen, he was pretty down. Even though they had just won a game, he's normally Mr. Energy, and he didn't say anything because they wanted to get the MRI this morning to make sure that they knew what they were dealing with before they made a statement.
So let me ask you this. We have seen a lot of times where a player leaves the field of play, and maybe it's on a sideline where there's a tarp and players slip and fall, referees slip and fall. Do you think they need to do something about that? Do they need to make sure that these tarps are not so slippery, or a different surface so that it doesn't create some kind of fall or an injury?
Well, I think, Jimmy, I think this is the way the stadiums are built. And, yeah, I wish they would. I wish they could. Unfortunately, you know, there's not enough runoff. And there are stadiums out, you know, out in the Mountain West that the end zone wall is like a yard past the back part of the end zone. So if you're running wide open on a flag or a post route down there, you got to slam that wall if you catch the ball in the back of the end zone. And in this situation, Memorial Stadium was built 60 years ago. It was the 60th anniversary of that stadium in Bloomington. And they have the field turf there. And then there's a rubberized track that behind that. And when you hit that track, you just stop. I mean, your foot just sticks like suddenly you're stuck in glue. And I think he stopped with one leg. The other one went forward. My guess is that's probably how the ACL tear took place, because it's more of the foot and ankle sticking, and the knee and thigh above it continue to move forward. And that's typically the tear mechanism for an ACL. So, you know, I just, when I saw that, and he knew immediately when he went down. I mean, and I looked over at Pete Meyer, the orthopedic surgeon. He goes running by me, and I think they knew when they watched the mechanism of injury that you just hate it for this young man. And you know, he was committed to Tennessee, coming to play for Butch Jones, and you know, and you know, Nick Sheridan, who was the quality control coach at Tennessee at the time under Mike DeBoer, is now the outstanding offensive coordinator at Indiana. And we talked about that and how they were developing this kid a lot like Josh Dobbs. He said, we're doing a lot of stuff with Michael Penix, the way Mike DeBoer and all of us did with Josh Dobbs, in terms of letting him use his legs, but making sure he understands when to throw it away, when to get out of bounds, and developing him in that model. They felt like Josh Dobbs was a perfect model for them to use. But then this happened. But he'll bounce back. I mean, he's a great kid, got an incredible attitude. When you meet him, and he'll bounce back, but unfortunately he's done for the year.
Our guest, Dr. Jerry Punch, his appearance brought to you by New Balance Knoxville. We'll get a break. Hour number two of Sports Talk is next as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.